Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Thursday, August 18th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Anyone who watches this show regularly knows that we advocate a few things. Be active. If you want to change the world, go above and beyond what you normally do. Also, speak out for what you believe in. The man who we have on as our guest today personifies all of these things and more. His name is Mr. Mordecai Vanunu, and for 18 years, he was the world's most famous political prisoner. Today, we're very honored to welcome to Wing TV Mr. Mordecai Vanunu. How you doing, Mordecai?
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to talk to you and to give my message to the people today.
Well, we're very honored today. We have a lot of questions for you, so let's jump right into it. In 1986, you revealed Israel's nuclear secrets at Dimona to the British press. For those people watching the show today who aren't aware of you, explain to them the consequences that you faced for doing this.
First of all, what I revealed that Israel has 200 atomic weapons.
Mm-hmm.
They are able to produce every year 10 atomic weapons. And they start producing hydrogen bombs and neutron bombs. The consequences was they succeed to kidnap me from Rome and brought me to prison.
They threw you in prison, though?
And tried me in secret and sentenced me as a spy traitor for 18 years.
So you're saying that that Israel had over 200 nuclear warheads, and because of this, you were sent to prison.
Yes, all this is true to 1986. We don't know how much more they produced since 1986 now. Another 19 years, they could have improved their production and then their systems. And if they want, they can have much more.
Mordecai, it takes extraordinary courage to do what you did. Most people would not face up to their government this way and speak out. Why did you do it?
Yes. Why did it? Because, first of all, I saw too much power atomic weapons they have, beyond any imagination or any justification for these small states, 5 million Jewish people. Second, it was Cold War. Russia, United States, and I was under the pressure that nuclear war could happen, start in the Middle East and continue to all over the world. The anti-nuclear movement was very strong, powerful at that time, and I hope to start preventing a future nuclear war with United States and here in the Middle East. I also believe by publication these are nuclear power, I will contribute for the end of the conflict in the Middle East, and force Israel to follow peace and to respect the rights of the Palestinians, especially the refugees. So my target was for peace and for contributing to the abolition of nuclear weapons in the Middle East.
Yeah, those are two great reasons right there. Now, we failed to mention that we're talking to Mordecai today from Jerusalem in Israel.
Right.
So this is a long-distance call, and it might explain some of the trouble in hearing. But, Mordecai, after you were convicted, you spent 18 years in prison. 11 of those years were in solitary confinement. Now, do you attribute your harsh treatment not only to being a whistleblower, but also because you converted your religion from Judaism to Christianity?
Yes, you are right. I said it, one of the reasons that I suffered so heavy punishment and cruel treatment by this race is one of the reasons is because I become a Christian. As mm-hmm. a Jewish who baptized, convert to Christianity, this race government, this race people couldn't accept and understand or let these men have good time or life. They didn't want to make me a good example for the Jewish children and young people to follow. So they treated me as a traitor and a spy as enemy. And the main reason is my Christianity, because Israel is a Jewish state. And if you convert to Christianity, you are damaging all these.
So basically they said that because you converted, that you were a traitor and a spy against the nation of Israel.
Yes. For them, I was double traitor, mm-hmm. one in the nuclear field and one in the national level of Judaism.
Yeah.
Mordecai, How did you survive all those years of solitary confinement and the subsequent years after they released you into the general prison population?
The way to survive was to believe in my humanity. I believed I am a free human being. Mm-hmm. They can imprison my body. They can control me in the cell, but my spirit is totally free. It is in my hand. And I keep this freedom and exercise this freedom by many ways every day. So that was the way to survive and to keep my sanity and my free spirit by exercising freedom by many ways every day to decide what to read, what to do, what to eat, what to sleep, everything whatever that is under my control, I exercise this freedom and let them see, those who are isolating me, fighting me, to let them see that I'm a free human spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's what I come out after 18 years telling the world that we have a free human spirit and no one can imprison us any other direction. Mm-hmm. Everything is in our hands.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine.
My spirit.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine going that many years in solitary confinement. Now, what role, Mordecai, did Robert Maxwell, now he was a publisher in England of the Sunday Mirror, what role did he play in tipping off the Mossad to your plans to expose Israel's nuclear secrets?
How did you hear about Robert Maxwell?
We're just doing research.
Okay, well, the role he did is, I think, someone wants him to publish. He published 1 week before the Sunday dance that my story is a fake story, is a false story, uh-huh. Photos are not real, I'm not working in Dimona. So he tried to destroy the story before it was published.
Also, he left
his...
In my view,
he was used by Israel Mossad spies to try to stop the story, but more than that, his publication convinced maybe the CIA or the FBI, mm-hmm. to help Israel to kidnap me and to stop the story. That was my... There is Israel cheating, using this Robert Maxwell that now people heard that he maybe was a Mossad spy. They used him to try to start the story before it was published.
Uh-huh, I see.
Mordecai, in July of 2005, 13 Nobel Peace laureates wrote a letter to the Israeli government asking them to release you from your restrictions and allow you to leave Israel. Have you heard any response from the Israeli government?
No, but the woman who said that the letter, Marit Maguire, who received the Peace Prize from Belfast, sent me a copy of the government answer telling them that I'm still causing them security risk. I still have some secrets. But that is the official answer by the Israel authority to justify what they are doing to me. But I don't think anyone in the world accepting or believing this explanation. And everyone understands that it is continue Israel revenge and punishing me for succeeding to expose to the world the most corruption of Israel government policy in this very important matter of nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Now I want to get back to the events leading up to your arrest. There was a woman named Cheryl Bentov who went by the name, or she went by an alias, but she was an American Mossad agent. How did she set you up, or what role did she play in having you arrested?
I said immediately after my release that this woman, that the Sunday Times journalist, people will not find Cheryl Bentov is not the real woman.
Uh-huh.
This journalist find a woman, and I told him it's not the real woman. The photo is not the same photo of the woman I knew and I met. So, it is not the real woman. And we don't know yet the real woman. I think someone trying to hide the truth and to give us this information. Maybe because of the CIA involvement in this case, they don't want to save the face of the CIA who was taking part in such act of silencing the man who tried to reveal the truth about his nuclear weapons.
Yeah, so just similar to Robert Maxwell, mm-hmm. you keep bringing up the American CIA and also the Mossad. So it seems like those two agencies were the ones most instrumental in trying to get you arrested and ultimately imprisoned, correct?
Yes.
The Israeli government has forbidden you to talk with foreigners and participate in internet chat rooms. Is this interview going to have a repercussion against you?
I'm not worried because I'm only speaking. They have many interviews if they want to judge to prosecute me. They have more than 100 interviews, so this interview will be 101. Doesn't matter.
Well, we're glad you made it 101. Yes. Since we're on this vein, Lisa mentioned one of the stipulations that you can't speak to foreigners via telephone or in person. What are some of the other stipulations that the Israeli government laid on you when you were released from prison?
Not to speak to any foreigners, not to go to foreign embassies, not to leave the country for 1 year, not to travel freely in Israel. I should report to the police every day where I'm going, where I'm sleeping every day. I'm not allowed to go to the occupied territories.
Okay. November 11th of last year, you were arrested by armed Israeli police who stormed St. George's Cathedral, where you've been given sanctuary. And they also arrested you Christmas Eve when you tried to enter Bethlehem and worship at the Church of the Nativity. Whatever happened with that, and are you still being harassed by the Israeli police?
What happened is they questioned me, and now I'm going to face a court trial. It happened 2 weeks ago. We went to the court, and the trial started about me not respecting the restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
They charged me that I'm giving the interviews, 20 interviews. So the trial will continue next January. Israel police can stop me anytime they want. They can arrest me if they want. So it depends on what Israelis want. As long as I'm here in Israel, I'm in their hand and they can continue these harshments.
Yeah. So basically you're saying they can stop you anytime they want to. They can question you anytime they want to. And next January, then they're finally going to decide what your fate is, because you're going out against their restrictions.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, when you were released from prison, you stated that we, meaning Israel, we don't need a Jewish state. Could you please explain a little bit more about what you mean by that?
Yes. My political view is we, the people, don't need a Jewish state. We want a secular state by the people, for the people. I, as a Jewish, or now I'm a Christian, I don't need a Jewish state.
Uh-huh.
We don't need a religious Jewish state. We need a democracy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And the Jewish people also don't need a Jewish state. You see Jewish people living everywhere in the world. Now the Jewish are minorities, not as it was 50 or 60 years ago. The world now respecting all the minorities everywhere in the world. We don't need a Jewish state to defend the Jewish people everywhere. Jewish living a very good life in the United States, everywhere in the world. So the only place where the people Jewish suffering is here in Israel, despite they have a state, but in fact they are in war and conflict. So the only way to live in peace is by establishing a secular democracy for the people, by all the people, with respecting equal rights to all the Palestinians, respecting their humanity and accepting them as a human being.
Now, when you speak out about this and say that Israel doesn't need a Jewish state, what do the authorities say to you about this? What kind of criticism do you receive?
The criticism was, when I was released from prison, 200 Jewish extreme right-wing and religious people come demonstrating against my release. And they call me traitor, enemy, to be killed. So the Israel media built an opinion against me, and I received a lot of hate from the Jewish people.
Hmm.
That's what happened when I released. But the people now hearing me, seeing me, they try to understand what I'm saying in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
2 days ago, we spoke with another Palestinian man, Hesham Talawi, and he told us that the Palestinians are in better shape than the Americans because the Palestinians know who the enemy is. What do you have to say to that?
Who is the enemy? Yes. I think the United States don't know exactly who is the enemy here. And the United States really don't know the reality here in Israel. The people of the United States are too much controlled, brainwashed by the U.S. media who is under the Israeli influence, or filtering the U.S. media, what the people in the United States should see, watch, knew, and what they should not know. So the Palestinian here knowing exactly what Israel is doing to them, who are, what does it mean the Israel's power, what does it mean occupation, what does it mean Israel democracy, what kind of democracy. The Palestinians know it very, very well, but not United States. That's what he wants to say. I think he's right. United States people don't know much about the reality here, don't understand, realizing the situation here. And many Americans hear them saying that the Palestinians, the Arabs, want to kill the Jews, want to shoot them, but that is not the truth. They can come and see, because the U.S. people are under media control, media brainwash.
Right. Okay, I wanted to ask you, too. Many Americans believe that we live in a police state here in our country, but you have actually lived and seen what a police state is like. Can you tell people what it's like to live in a real police state?
Yes, but I think United States now is following, learning from Israel. Since September 11, United States are following Israel's style of democracy or the police state of checkpoint in the airport and many new laws and taking freedom and liberty from the U.S. people.
So this framework's being
set
up.
So that is Israel exporting this style of democracy, style of freedom to the U.S. people. And Israel is a real police state because in the name of state security, they can impose any rules on anyone. They can, they have a mandate law, what they call emergency law. They can prevent people from traveling, house arrest, administrative arrest anytime they want. They can put you in administrative arrest without trial for 6 months. Either police state can destroy, demolish houses of Palestinians without any trial, without any justification, just by signing their papers. They can demolish houses. Israel police state can assassinate Palestinians by power, by army force. Israel police state is by using the army against citizens.
Mm-hmm.
The armies are not fighting anymore armies. The armies are fighting citizens.
Yeah.
Arresting them, checking them,
humiliating
them every day. That is Israel police state.
And that's what we face here in America more and more so if we don't start wising up to seeing what's going on in the rest of the world, especially in Israel. One last question, Mordecai. We want to thank you very much for being here. But one of our favorite writers is Michael Collins Piper. He wrote a book called Final Judgment. And you seem to agree with him that after you were arrested last year, you said that Israel was ultimately behind the assassination of John F. Kennedy. What more can you tell us about that?
Yes, this idea I wrote it in prison. I come out with the idea that I was trying to understand why Kennedy was assassinated. And my conclusion is because of the Kennedy policy against nuclear proliferation.
Yeah.
My view, Kennedy, who experienced the Cuba crisis and was very close to see the nuclear war with the Russians and was afraid of all these nuclear disasters, the nuclear war had happened, decided to try to stop nuclear proliferation to other states.
Mm-hmm.
And the first state was going to follow this nuclear proliferation was Israel. Israel built a reactor that was going to produce nuclear weapons, and he tried to stop them by demanding from them to appeal to Mona for inspection.
That's right.
He wrote many letters, all these letters not published. So Kennedy tried to stop the nuclear proliferation to Israel, and those spy organization who was behind Israel decided to remove him because his death plan was to spread nuclear weapons to Israel and also to other states, South Africa, and many more states. So,
very well said.
The way was to remove him from office.
Israeli extremists have vowed that you will never know freedom until your last day of life. Do you still intend to come to America, and do you think you'll ever be free of these people?
Absolutely, I survived the most hard life of prison, and I believe the next step, they must let me go sooner or later. I'm an example, a symbol of a man who can survive, he can keep his faith until he survives. So I will keep on my fight to be free and to receive this freedom, and to leave the country, and to meet my friends in the United States and everywhere in the world.
Yeah. Well, Mordecai, thank you so much for coming on Wing TV today. And you, as we said in the beginning of the show, you personify everything that we tell people to become if they want to change the world around them. So just thank you so much.
Keep fighting, Mordecai.
Thank you very much.
And good
luck. Thank you very much for this. And I'm very glad that you took my message to there. On July 1, I'll be there and talk to you and others face to face.
We'll send it all over the world, right. Mordecai.
Thank you very much. Have a good day. We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV with Visigoth. He's a radio talk show host that hosts a show called From the Grassy Knoll. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.